Praise and thanks be to the Lord. The words we read in the Holy Scripture always strengthen our faith, and then such a powerful desire arises in us, Lord, once more, do it once more, not for our sake, but for the honor of your name, that it may be revealed that we do not serve a dead God, but a Lord who laid down his life, who has risen, and who keeps his word, who will be with us always to the end of the world. Let us never forget where we come from, never forget where we would be today if God had not graciously taken care of us. Let us never forget what a privilege it is to believe what God has to say to us today through His Word. When we read 1 Kings 18, we find both wistfulness, joy, hope, and expectation. Everything seems to come together here. Joy that God answers, that He hears prayers, that He sent rain, that He confirmed that He is the true God. And we were back on Mount Carmel a few days ago. And this time I didn't stand at the monument, or did I, to have a photo taken there. I don't know who wanted it and who said it, but I was tired of having my photo taken with a monument of Elijah. But nevertheless, we were on Mount Carmel at this monument of Elijah, right? And then there is a great ache in my heart, and it rises up to God, Lord, when will you do it? When will you confirm your word? When will you answer? Our words fade away and accomplish nothing. But God's word accomplishes what it was sent to do. And when the power of God is added to confirm what has been done according to His word, it is an undeniable testimony to the presence of God at that moment. And if you read all of this now and know the locations, on one side of Carmel, the valley of Jezreel, stretched out for miles, and on the other side, the other valley where this brook is. And we looked down, we were shown, there it was, there is the brook. And there Elijah put an end to the priests of Baal. You look there for a moment, and then you look away again, because the pain is too great. Our God is not a God of history, but a God who makes history, who still stands by His word today. One thing struck me, whether for the first time, I'm not sure, but it clearly says that the rain came. Let me read it again. It says here, at the time of the evening sacrifice. We emphasized that some time ago. But this was about the rain. What was it that I wanted to emphasize? The rain came after this showdown had happened. Yes, that was the thought. The rain came after the prophet Elijah had settled accounts with a whole pack. He knew that he had been appointed and sent by God to speak and work in the name of the Lord. And when God revealed his power and the priests of Baal were finished off with a sword, then came the rain. Whether this has prophetic significance for our time, whether it is the order that will be followed, God alone knows. But one thing we do know, God has promised that the prophet Elijah will come before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. In the same way we know that the altar of God has been raised, that everything has been restored, and the sword of the Spirit would have to be used to give the death blow to everything that is not of divine origin. And then comes the latter rain. We are all waiting for the rain. We don't have the concept in our hands. We have the big picture, but we don't know the details or the sequence. But one thing we do know, God will not leave us empty-handed. That would be inconsistent with everything that has happened in the past. God has never failed to bear witness to what He has announced, promised, and then carried out at some point in the past. A Noah had to wait a long time. Of course, not 120 years, as some say, but 120 in total. You can read about it, but it doesn't matter. 1 year doesn't matter. The important thing is that God stands by His word. And we have faith that if we really do what His words say, then He can't help but hear. As with Elijah, he could say, "Lord, I have done all these things according to your word. Hear me, Lord. Hear me, that this people may know that you, Lord, are the true God, and that you yourself have turned their hearts." The change was not through preaching, but through a divine intervention, through a revelation of God's power, visible, tangible, audible. Everything was there. How often have we expressed it in our prayers, Lord, reveal yourself in such a way that we can hear, see and feel that it comes to fulfillment as written in John's letter. What was from the beginning, what we have seen, heard and experienced, what our hands have handled of the word of life, this we proclaim to you. So not just preaching, but divine confirmation of His word among those who have received the word. And this faith must become ever greater in us. It is also independent of all circumstances. For example, if someone doesn't feel well, that doesn't change anything about God and His word or what He has promised. That is the beauty, that God is above everything. Imagine if He went up and down with us and was subject to our fluctuations. What would that be? No, God is highly exalted. Nevertheless, He has taken our ups and downs into account and watches over His word to fulfill it. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. He knew that when this showdown, when this divine confirmation was there, that would be the hour of God's visitation. God has times, we don't have them, but God does. Our time is like eternity for Him, so is time for us. But within time, He has planned certain things in significance of the plan of salvation, which all take place and come when He has determined them. It goes on to say, so Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. Even then, despite this powerful experience, he did not turn up his nose, did not shout for joy. He put his head between his knees and prayed to God. This dependence on God, this trust in God, speaks to us all. There is no man of God who would ever have cause to turn up his nose and think that everything will work out. I say here and now, after this tremendous answer to prayer, after the great experience, after the extraordinary confirmation, after the enemies had been finished off with a sword, this man comes up, crouches down, puts his head between his knees, and prays to his God. What devotion, what consecration before the Almighty God. Nothing can be taken for granted with God. The Lord wants us to ask Him for what He should do. After all, He places the requests in our hearts beforehand so that we can bring them to Him and He can hear us and grant us what we ask of Him. But it is only when He puts it in our hearts, not a wish list on which we write umpteen things, but one thing that he wants to do, he puts on our hearts, and we bring it to him in prayer, and then he hears us. And said to his servant, Go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, There is nothing. Nice thing. Go there, look. And he comes and says, There's nothing going on. There's nothing to see. He replied, Go again. He didn't give up. And so it went back and forth, as it says here. And he looked and said, There is nothing. And so seven times. When would we give up? At some point in between. He knew that God had heard, answered, and confirmed. And the same God will hear, answer, and confirm again. When is up to him? And it says, And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, Behold, there arises a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And in the twinkling of an eye there was a cloud, and it poured with rain. It didn't take long at all. That's how it will be at the end of days. Without much notice, all of a sudden, a small cloud like that of a man's hand. The important thing is that it is the hand of the one who holds everything in his hands, the sea and the dry land, who has everything at his disposal, and who is intent on blessing his people and graciously visit them. With whom did God hold judgment? With the priests of Baal, with all those who did not belong to him, but who were on his side, found grace with him. For them the drought was over. How often we wish and sing, mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. But first the cloud has to rise somewhere. First something has to come. As long as the sky is deep blue, nothing will happen. Wait and see. Trust in the Lord. Remain faithful to him until the hour of God strikes. There's nothing worse than waiting. This sometimes tests our patience to the limit. And yet it says quietly in our hearts, Wait, for it will surely come to pass. As it was said to one of the minor prophets, it is a great thing, though in one of the minor prophets, though the vision tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. And so it is at this time. I would rejoice if all these things could follow one another so beautifully again. After the altar of God has been set up, the 12 stones, according to the 12 tribes of Israel, after the doctrine of the 12 apostles has been beautifully set up again, and after everything has been put back in place, and that we do the things according to the word of the Lord, and can look up to him, pray, and say, Hear me, Lord, so that this people may recognize that you are the true God, and that you yourself have turned their hearts. That is then a divine conversion. Not that a human being could do this, but God. And that is where all our trust lies, that He can bring people to repentance through word and deed. And I believe that we all long for an experience with God that transforms our entire life, that makes us new, that turns us into people of God in whom His word can be fulfilled. Before we can experience these great things that are yet to come, we must first be where God wants us to be. We see it here with the prophet Elijah. He was so sure of it. He didn't just bring the stones and the wood and everything. He gave the command and said, "Fill the jars with water and pour it over the wood." And if I'm right, the scripture even says that the channel that had been dug around it was filled with water, so that no one could hold a match to it. Everything was wet through and through. And the Lord answered, and everyone was convinced. The priests of Baal would have done things differently. They would have set a fuse, and someone would have brought matches and would have lit a fire, but not the prophet of God. That was such a real thing. Everything God does is so real and is made almost impossible, so that it almost can't happen. And then it happens, because God plans it. And he wasn't afraid at all. Do you realize? Elijah didn't help God at all. He made it difficult for God, didn't he? He made everything really wet and difficult so that the fire would have a hard time. He did not think humanly. And so the miracle and the confirmation were all the greater. What is it here? It says here, and he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, "Fill 4 barrels of water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood." And he said, "Do it the second time." And they did it the second time. And he said, "Do it the third time." And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar. And he filled the trench also with water. Everything was wet. A trench of water all around. And suddenly, fire came down from heaven. And God confirmed it. What a marvelous thing. How marvelous. People have watched how he made it quite difficult for God to burn the thing there. But nothing is impossible with God. Do you know that we don't need to help God much? We only need to believe and only do what he commands us to do, and then trust him without limits, and be deeply convinced that our God has all power in heaven and on earth. The more difficult the thing is, the more God is glorified when it happens. How often have you thought about this? When Martha and Mary were in distress because Lazarus had died, and one of them said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." But it was meant to be. Not only was a sick person to be healed, a dead person was to be raised from the dead. All the greater was the miracle that the Lord performed. Beloved, let us not draw back Let us not open the door to unbelief, but let us live in quiet trust in our God and be convinced that He will fulfill every word and every promise at the right time. Even if we have to wait in between, and when the drought gets so bad that we say, "Dear people, it would be better if we all stayed at home." The drought in the meetings is bad, sure, because we don't do artificial rain, we don't sprinkle people, we wait for God to do it. The last thing I would do is to kindle a fire somewhere or to do anything myself. We are in the kingdom of God. We are dependent on God, and He has ways and means to carry out whatever He pleases. And if He wants it, it would be right for us to have a full share in it. We have already pretty much borne His reproach. Why shouldn't we also enjoy what He is yet to do? Oh yes, I believe it with all my heart. We will rejoice in what God does according to His word. Do not think that someone else will speak the last word. He is the first and He is the last, and He will bring everything out gloriously. If we look out once and there's nothing to see yet, that doesn't mean it's not coming. It means that it is coming. Just not yet, but it is coming. If we look out a second time and we don't see it yet, that doesn't mean it's not coming. It just means that it hasn't come yet. But one day, it is the seventh time. And why shouldn't we believe that God will do this by grace in the seventh church age? At the end, when the showdown is due and the altar of God has been built and everything has been properly arranged on it, and we can really come before Him, not with shouting like the priests of Baal, not with back and forth, with scabs here and there, but simply talking to God, who hears and who wants to answer. We believe that tonight. He will do it by grace. Praise be to His name. Amen. Heavenly Father, from our hearts we thank You together for Your precious and holy word. They are all living testimonies of Your divine power. You have always had people to whom You spoke, through whom You worked, whom You could use to confirm Your word. O Lord, it is not about us. It is about You and Your word being honored and confirmed. Beloved Lord, You are a faithful God. You have given us a wonderful message. We live as in the days of Elijah. We got a prophetic message before the day of the Lord dawns. O great God, give us grace to come in faith, that the altar may truly stand as You would have it. O Lord, You will give everything, the showdown, the confirmation, you will answer, and then it will not be difficult for us to hear the sound of the latter rain. Living faith will be there, even if you don't see it yet, because you have promised it, as you did to Elijah, who could truly say, at my word, because you had put your word in his mouth, as Paul could say, according to my gospel, Lord, your gospel had become his gospel, your power, his power, your life, his life. Lord, may it be so with us all. Oh, we thank you in all our weakness and misery. We praise the power of your blood, your word, and your spirit. Bless all who ask to be prayed for, all those who are lying there sick. Bless Sister Vogt. Bless all, faithful Lord, who look up to you, who call out to you, and let the confirmation of your word come soon in a mighty way. To you be the honor and the praise forever and ever. Amen.